The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and was, which is to come, the Almighty. I'll end our reading there. Let's pray and let's seek the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for the words we've been singing, the words of Scripture read. We pray for that help and enabling grace of thy Holy Spirit as we seek to speak of our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus. Guide and lead us in our thoughts. In all things, may Christ be preeminent. May the Word of God take hold upon our heart and upon our soul, each one. Remember the need of all. Some are not saved. Lead them to He who is the truth, our Lord Jesus. Help each believer. May we be encouraged by the words that we read here, and help us in our understanding of them. These things we ask in the name of our great Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has many titles. John's Gospel reminds us of his own words. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. He says also in that book, I am the door. Again, I am the light of the world. And so we could spend much time listing the titles that the Lord Jesus Christ gives himself. They're all very, very important. I would digress a little here and caution. There are those who feel that to be relevant, they need to always speak of our Savior by the name Jesus. I do not object to that at all. Philip, after all, preached to the Ethiopian Jesus. But the Word of God gives many titles of our dear Savior. They all should be used. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean at each and every time. I point out simply that the Word of God gives us many titles of Jesus Christ to remind us that we are to have the highest views of our dear Savior. And therefore, as believers, take what I've said, not as counsel from me, but from how the Word of God describes our Savior, and be not ashamed and be not afraid to speak of our Savior in all the terms that are given to him in the Word of God. Every one of them is relevant. Here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord Jesus, as he introduces himself afresh to the churches of Asia, and they are real churches, the title that he gives himself in verse 8, it's mentioned again, by the way, at the end of the book, so that signifies its importance, is I am Alpha and Omega. Not long ago, a man asked me, having seen the window in our church in Banbridge, what that those signs meant. So I had the opportunity actually of saying to him, well, they are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Here the Lord Jesus Christ draws on that Greek language and uses it to describe himself. And so we have in our text, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Remember the first and the last letters. Which is and which was and which is to come. We want to consider that phrase especially, I am Alpha and Omega. Good to stop and talk about the language which the Lord Jesus Christ is using here. I've indicated already, these are the first and the last letters of the Greek language. We know that the scriptures, of course, in the New Testament are given in this language. And the Lord Jesus Christ immediately draws on the very language that the people of God will be having read to them. And he uses, therefore, this expression, which, of course, is very relevant, isn't it? Given that they're hearing about what he has to say in the language of their own tongue. Pilate, of course, wrote a title on the cross. He put it in three languages, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, concerning who this was on the cross, the King of the Jews, reminding us that there were many nationalities, but Pilate would have even them know who Jesus Christ said he was. But it included the Greek language. That the Savior uses this language is a reminder to us that it has importance that they understand who he is. This is their language. That is the people to whom the book is now given. They know this language. This is the language that they use. And so he draws upon the first and the last letter of their language to make the point concerning who he is, which we'll think as we move on in our message. But just now, I want to impress upon our minds the thought that the scriptures are here to be understood. Before the Reformation, the scriptures might have been read, but they were read in Latin. The general population didn't know in our country what they actually said, because no one really told them except those who were prepared under God and who knew the languages and knew the scriptures to put it into the language of the people. They did so, remember, to peril of their own life, and some gave their lives at the stake because of what they have done, most notably, of course, Tyndale. Why did they do that? Because it is the will of our Lord that we understand what he is saying. And therefore, the Savior, to the congregations who have these letters written, he will have them understand something, borrowing from their own language about who he really is. And we should make a general point as we think of that, that we are here to make known clearly, plainly, the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. Therefore, you pray that as you read the scriptures, that God, by his Holy Spirit, will make it plain to your soul. There may be many mysteries in the Word of God, but there are many more things to be plainly understood. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. You may come to the Word of God, and you may think it a book that has a mist, has a cloud upon it. Perhaps you have even read it betimes, and there are things that you do not understand. I used an example earlier on in our introduction about Philip, who went down to preach to that Ethiopian. He didn't understand the word. He didn't know of whom the prophet spoke. Is he speaking about himself, he said, or some other man? Philip preached unto him Jesus. I would suggest to you, I would even more urge you to realize that the secret of this book is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Seek him in the book, as the Savior said. These, that is the scriptures, testify of him. The great need of your soul is to know Christ and his redemption. And as the Lord Jesus Christ here identifies himself using, borrowing the language of the Greek language, therefore, as you hear the message of Jesus Christ in our English tongue, seize hold of Christ. Seize hold of him today. He is being plainly, clearly set before you. This is the need of your heart and your soul. We don't give an uncertain sound, and I here give a word of counsel for our own hearts as believers. Pray that on every occasion the Word of God is being preached, it might be with plainness, boldness. We're not to come into the house of God and leave as uncertain as we came in. When we come into the house of God, we want to know plainly and clearly what the Word of God is teaching. Therefore, you pray for the one who will bring the Word, that God will give him not only boldness, but plainness of speech, that he might not give uncertainties, but he might give the certainty of the truth of the Word of God, and that he might make it plain. Something for you to pray over on each occasion you come to the house of God. You want to know what God says to your soul. Therefore, pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, the great language that we have might be used of God to speak to our heart and soul as the Word of God is being brought to our heart. And thank God every day that we have the Word of God in our tongue, and that we have it here before us, and that we can read it. We thank God even for the education that is given. Do you know, in the Reformation times, often the Word of God would simply be taken, such copies as were available in the English language, and simply read to the people. Do you know why? Because they couldn't read. But such was their desire to hear the word, they sat and listened to the message of Jesus Christ in their mother tongue. You thank God every day for the providences that we have. The Bible in our own language. The ability to be able to come and read it. And many have that ability. What a treasure, therefore, we have. As the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself known in this title to those who spoke the language of Greek, so the Lord, through the word that we have translated, comes to your heart, my heart, to make himself known. Rejoice in that great privilege on each occasion. I want to think of the letters that are used here. Alpha and Omega. The first and last, used for good reason, because they are the first and they are the last letters in the Greek language. I have to stop, of course, here to make a point. Some people say, oh, this teaches that Christ has a beginning. Well, if you look actually at verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ uses a title for himself, the Almighty. He is God. These words do not indicate that he has a beginning in time. They do not indicate that he has an end in view. They mean something much, much more. And if I could turn you over to the book of Colossians to emphasize that. Colossians chapter 1. And you will see what Paul here is talking about. For instance, from verse 14, chapter 1 of Colossians, and We're going to look particularly at verse 18, so please don't lose the train of thought. But the subject of these verses is the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So that's the subject. And then Paul turns his attention to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look there at verse 18, well, we'll read verse 17. That's important. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So if you think of it in this sense, Paul is talking about redemption. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, what He did upon the cross. He's reminding us that as far as this redemptive work is concerned, He is everything in it. He is all preeminence. And that's the thought that is to grip your heart here as you think of why the Lord now is describing Himself as the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. We have not a mere man when we come to the person of our dear Savior. We have He who is great, and I'll emphasize that in a moment or two. We have He who is above all things, and therefore the people of God are to view Him as such. There have been great men in the past. We think of men like Moses, the meekest man in all the earth, but yet we see His human heart exposed when He strikes the rock twice instead of as He was told once. And for that, He was not to enter into the land of Canaan. He would see it with His eyes, but not enter. We think of men like Peter, bold as a lion, and yet how often Peter finds a weakness in his heart, even to such extent he cannot even confess the Lord when he's asked around that fireside who He really is. The great prophets who stood in the day when it was very difficult, like Jeremiah, fearless, and yet on one occasion he found himself saying, "I will no more speak in the name of the Lord." And the Lord had to challenge him. And so as you go through the men in the Bible, we realize they're but men at best. When we come to the man, Christ Jesus, however, we come to He who is great above all. He who has preeminence. We were singing the psalm at the beginning of the message, or the meeting. And in that psalm, we have reference to the coming Christ. "Lo, in the volume of the book, it written is of me, I delight to do thy will." We come to the perfect man. And here the church has the Savior setting Himself before them, reminding them He is above everything. That's the sense we're to understand these words. Not that it means He had a beginning or He has an end. But in terms of the church of Jesus Christ, He is everything. We think of the first letter, Alpha. And of course, the sense of that is given by verse 8, the beginning. The beginning. Whatever you wish to know concerning the things of God, where will you begin? You begin with Jesus Christ. You begin with the Savior. Perhaps your thought is, but I must examine all the things that challenge me about what you call faith. I must answer the question, is there a God? I must answer the question concerning what religion is right and which one is wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ would come to you and say, begin. Remember Philip? He preached to that man, Jesus Christ. And so we say to your heart, to your soul, begin with Jesus Christ. I've been reading a little of the great stirring that took place in the land of Russia. In the late part of the 1800s, there's a volume giving you the life of Lord Radstock. And although he did not spend a lot of time in Petersburg, for that's where he preached, he did preach in royal houses. If you read the stories of those times, you cannot think anything else. The whole thing was remarkable. And yes, much took place within the royal families at that time, but the message spread. And spread out to regions of Russia. And especially into the southern parts. To this day, there's still a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm digressing a little, but I just want to say something here. So, in what is the nation of Ukraine today, where there's so much trouble, there is a witness for God. Now, I'm not putting it all down to the work that was done then, but I am saying that part of that work still to this day resides in the nation of Ukraine and in the land of Russia. There's still a testimony. But I'm coming back to the point I wish to make. Lord Radstock was not a very gifted man. He certainly could speak, but he was in many ways plain, simple. And the people who were coming to listen to him were very educated people. But they were held by the message, many of them, that he taught and preached. And I've read the record of several who came to trust Christ. People who had no faith, little time for the Word of God, their acquaintance with religion may have been with the Orthodox Church, but they had little time for it. But in reading the testimony, and I think of one particularly who was mightily used, he was a man in the army. I may mention a little about him tonight, so I don't want to rob my message tonight, but one of the things that greatly struck me is what took hold of them. Do you know it was the simple truth that Jesus Christ was the answer? And that his atoning sacrifice was the only thing that could save them. That is the truth that took hold of them. And therefore I say again, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha, what he means is, you want to know God? You begin with me. What a message that is for believers as we study the Bible. You should always be seeking to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. To study more and more of what he said, of the great truths that are revealed to us concerning him. I think of what was announced there, and my time is fleeting here quickly, but concerning that conference, and I took note of the subjects. Adoption was mentioned. Glorification. Great subjects. Sanctification. These are tremendous things. And remember, they all focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. What he brings to our heart and to our soul. Never forget this as you study the Word. I quickly move on, because the last letter is Omega. It is differentiated from the small O. It is the letter O, but it's called the great O. The small O, you'll identify with this in case I'm getting too complicated for folk. We had a virus, and that virus has given names, and one of the latest viruses is called Omicron virus. And that's the little O in the Greek language, and that's the name of the letter. Omega is the great O. That's what it's called. When we come to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, could I emphasize here his greatness? I can't do anything better than quote the woman who was at the well. And after her conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, she went back into the city. And what did she tell the people? She said concerning this one she had met, "Is not this the Savior of the world?" Not a mighty statement to make. Having talked with this one by the well, and with all the confusion that was in her mind concerning religion, remember, she was a Samaritan. At the end of her conversation, she was able to go into the city and tell the people, "This is the Savior of the world. I have found him." She had captivated in her heart this great truth. This is he who is great. There's none greater. This is the answer. I trust that as God's people, that captivates our heart. Nothing will propel you into the work of God, into the service of Christ, to witness for Christ, like the great thought, Christ is greatest of all. Greatest of all. And you know what all the false religions do? They demote Christ. They say, he was one of the sons of God. Or he was, yes, a being in heaven, but he was created. They will say, he was a prophet, yes, but no more perhaps than other people who have come and gone. But the gospel says this is the greatest. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Then, could I speak a little quickly about letters indicate learning, don't they? When you study the alphabet of our language, you're learning the building blocks of speech and written language. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am Alpha and Omega." He uses the illustration of the Greek language. And he's saying here to the people, learn of me. Learn of me. Letters lead to the lips being able to pronounce with clarity and precision. Learn of Jesus Christ, and you learn the way of salvation. You learn the way of God. You learn about the will of God. You learn about the things of heaven and hell. You learn about the wisdom of God above the wisdom of the world. And there's no greater wisdom than that. You may learn all about the technologies of this world. You may be able to delve into the various aspects of science. We don't demote science, but we put it in its proper place. It's under Jesus Christ. This is the greatest knowledge that you can ever have, the greatest learning. Young people, if you're in Christ, learn of me, Christ says. Let this be your priority. You might have a course of education ahead that might last for several years. You might think it daunting. And you might say, I'm going to have to give myself very intensely to what I will learn. I'm saying to you, don't neglect your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Learn of him. That's the highest, that's the greatest wisdom you could ever have. you're outside of Jesus Christ. We point you to the one where wisdom is truly found. It's not found in your arguments against Christ. It's found in trusting Jesus Christ and resting upon him. Learn of him. Listen to his word. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Will you trust in his redeeming blood? Will you flee from sin and flee from wrath to come? Flee to Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Almighty. Come to him today.